my favorite song, George.
Hello and welcome to another episode, or the first episode actually, of the Auto Trader podcast in the year 2023. My name is Wandile Sishi.
And I'm George Meany.
And boy, do we have something interesting for you guys today. But before we get into that, in fact, rather, maybe George, what are we going to be talking about today? And then we'll get into, you know.
Not Happy New Year.
I want a Happy New Year. You haven't Happy New Year all year. It's the first time.
No, man. It's already the, what, like something teen of 17th. January. Like, I mean, at what point do we stop saying Happy New Year? At Valentine's Day?
I don't know. There's no rules, but you have to, you know. You
no,
have
there
to.
Is a rule.
What's the rule? What's the rule?
After the 1st of January, no more Happy New Year.
Okay. Well, Happy New Year. I said it.
Are you one of those people that forwards Happy New Year messages to everybody?
I'm actually not. I don't prefer to do it like via text. I prefer...
No, I don't
like
do.
Like an in-person. Like
if I see a generic Happy New Year message that yeah. I can see has been forwarded to everybody in their cat,
yeah,
I don't respond.
And WhatsApp
to that.
Now like says forwarded. If you do forward a message, it actually like tells you.
A number of times.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, I don't do those. Like, no. Happy New Year should end on the 1st of January. That's it. 2nd of January, it's already 2023.
Wish me a Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Wandy.
Thank you. I appreciate that, finally. What are we talking about today?
I don't know.
So we kick starting the year with Formula One, Formula E. I thought maybe it might be a nice opportunity for us to really unpack predictions for the year. And we'll be at the Formula E this year, so maybe, you know,
yep.
Kind of unpack a little bit of that as well.
Can't wait. I might be able to get to meet the drivers. So
oh, really?
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, no, I'm going to be in your bag. So, you know, we will get to meet the drivers.
Since when are you switching from the loud, noisy Formula One cars to Formula E?
I like motorsport. So okay. I'm not really, all right, fair enough. You know, I'm not too.
It seems like the Formula E cars have changed, though.
Gently,
they're looking more like Formula One cars.
Yeah. Mm. So they changed the cars this year. It's officially the Gen 3 cars, which we will be seeing later on. They look fast. They look really fast. The more dynamic, they're faster. So, you know, around the streets of Cape Town, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what entertainment they'll be able to offer us.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it stays for a while. Then we'll just be talking about what cars you can afford in 2023. Car prices have gone up for the last few years and, you know, the numbers have changed slightly. Then some new cars, some really interesting cars coming into 2023. And lastly, we'll just be reviewing some of our predictions from last year.
Because awesome.
Every year we do predictions. So we'll be wrong, you know, we'll see.
So before we get going, I want to give a shout out to, you know, Wendy and I always sit here.
Yeah.
You know, we face the cameras, got
sometimes.
The headphones on, got yeah. the mics on. But the unsung heroes are actually in that studio.
Yeah, our producers.
Cockpit.
Yeah.
Over there. And that's Reino and Kiara.
Yeah.
And without them, I don't think we'd be able to just sit down and start like this.
100%. We just arrive. They do everything.
Exactly.
We just, you know, sometimes talk a little bit. As well as our designers, you know. We have a fantastic design team which, you know, edits and do everything. But it is definitely a team effort and we're looking forward to, you know.
23.
Better shows this year.
Awesome.
So, motorsports. Any predictions this year?
This is going to sound very, very weird. I'm on the fence between supporting... one of three teams.
Three teams this time.
Mm.
Okay.
So I've been a Ferrari fan since the beginning of Formula One in my own lifetime.
Yeah.
I've been an absolute Ferrari fan. So I've been so disappointed in Ferrari, to be honest, that I'm not confident that they have their strategic brain buttoned down, even with, you know, what's his name that left?
Binotto. Yeah, yeah.
You know, so how long is it going to take for the new guy to really make a difference? Year, two, 3 years?
I think it's going to take a while. Look, he's been in the ecosystem of Ferrari for, you know, as long as time. I mean, I think he was Charles's manager at one point, if not still. But, you know, he doesn't know the inner workings of that team. Mm. It's going to take a few years before he's...
So my dilemma is as follows. I like Red Bull.
Yeah.
Just because of their scrappy, almost like startup type
yeah,
nature,
yeah.
and they
bare knuckle
winning,
dirty,
like yeah. down in the dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
My challenge with Red Bull is that they're not a car manufacturer, so therefore that leaves Mercedes-Benz, and one of the reasons I'm on the fence about not supporting Red Bull and rather supporting Mercedes-Benz this year is because Mercedes is made in South Africa.
Mm.
Well, a lot of the Mercedes are made in South Africa. Not all of them are made in or assembled in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Ferrari's not.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. I'll let you know by the time the season starts. Which
it's interesting. I mean, it is kind of early to do predictions.
No, no, it's not based on who's going to win. It's really just based on if not Ferrari, who.
Mm.
You know, because I've got once I make the switch, I've got to stick to it for the next few.
I need to troll you on whatever you choose. So I agree with that. I mean, I'm still going to be supporting Mercedes. James is leaving, so one of our main strategists are leaving the team. So it's going to Williams. So you know, there's going to be some changes across the grid, plus new cars. You know, it's going to be a new season. I think it's going to be hard to kind of pin who's going to win until we do see them in testing in the end of February. So
I think Daniel Ricciardo is going to be quite good for Red Bull's test driver.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he's going to be good because he knows the team, he knows the car. I mean, the car would have changed over time, but surely he'd have some sort of...
You think he won't bring any drama? Like, you think he's not going to come and kind of shake things up there?
How?
You know, maybe...
He's a test driver.
Yeah, but... I think he still got it in him. I think he still has that dog in
him. Yeah, but I mean, unless he's on the grid, he's not going to be able to do anything.
Perez's seat is warm. It's warm.
No, no, for sure. I think Ricciardo is probably better than Perez, to be honest.
Yeah.
I think Ricciardo deserves that seat back.
Yeah.
But you know, Ricciardo can't do anything unless Red Bull say okay.
100%.
You know, so I mean, I'm not hoping for a crash for anybody, but if for any reason Perez is not in a race, Ricciardo will be there.
100%. Then Formula E. So we kind of jumped into that a little bit. So Formula E is finally in South Africa, and we're going to finally be getting to see a FIA sanctioned race, really since like 1993.
What are we on? We're on the fifth race, eh?
Fifth race on the 25th of February. So we might be recording a podcast there. So look out for that, as well as just on the grid. You know, George might be meeting some cool people. I'll be in his bag also trying to meet some cool
people. Hopefully I can get to meet the drivers. I mean, these people are cooler than cool. So we're round number five, looks like it. Yeah, round number five in Cape Town in February.
Yep. So the first race has already happened, and we already have the first winner. His name is Jake Dennis. For I think it's Avalanche Andretti who's won. So we'll be following that, and I think maybe we'll start sneaking in some Formula E here and there in the shows and seeing.
How I don't think it's a bad idea. I mean, I don't know if this will ever replace Formula One, unless internal combustion engines at some point get absolutely banned.
Yeah,
but then this might become Formula One.
100%. Yeah,
you know,
it could be, but I don't know. We'll see. I honestly. I'm going to say it on the record for the first time ever. Biofuels, I think, have a future in the world.
You think?
I really do.
Did you see that new car that...
It was on biofuel.
Well, I mean, I'm talking off the top of my head. I didn't even prepare for this one. But there's this car, I think, made in Dubai or somewhere.
Okay.
Somewhere like, you know, up there. That has a engine that's literally like... 20 kilos.
Okay. Really, really small. Yeah.
It's like, it's not big.
Yeah.
And what they found was the trick isn't to create a piston that moves in one direction, turning a crankshaft to change the direction to then move through a gearbox, through prop shafts, through CV joints.
Yeah.
It's this 20 kilogram engine, which piston moves laterally.
Okay.
And all that the piston does is charge the battery to run the electric motor.
Huh.
So, and it runs on biofuel.
I was about to say, what's it actually running?
That, I think, is potentially what you're talking about.
So you're charging, it's almost like the i3, the REX, where you have a generator that's going to be charging the electric engine.
Yes.
But you're saying the fuel shouldn't be like...
Well, the fuel can't be ice fuel. That's, you know, that's literally a hybrid, and, you know, it's not getting away from fossil fuels. So this runs on biofuel. Because the piston runs laterally, it operates as an isolated entity.
Yeah.
And all it does is charge the batteries.
Nice. I haven't seen this. Where do they put the engine? In the front?
Well, I mean, this thing looks like a little bit of a spider, but, you know, it's... And it's effectively then got unlimited range.
Mm.
You know, because you just got a fuel tank, normal 50 liters,
fill that up,
biofuel, and
you have all the
charge batteries. You can also then charge batteries from outside, plug in hybrid type scenario.
Yeah.
There's unlimited possibility with that kind of situation, especially with an engine that's almost like an electric motor. It's got one moving part, and that's a piston.
Yeah.
And that's in one direction.
Yeah. Yeah. It's efficient as well. Yeah, that's ultimately what they try to do there. Moving on. So it's a brand new year. Last year, the biggest thing that was every single month, car prices seem to be going up and up and up and up and up. But now we're entering the new year, and I think it's important to kind of spotlight what can you afford now, in the beginning of the year. So you always say that, you should spend no more than 20%, 15% of your salary on a new car?
Yeah, I mean, most housing affordability calculations are no more than one third. So I would say, no more than half of that on your car, maybe 15, 20%.
Yeah, okay. So that's
That's what I say.
Yeah. So if you're making 20,000 rand, for instance, per month, you're saying no more than about 4,000 rand.
You should be paying on an installment.
An installment's correct.
Yeah.
But there are additional things that you must take into consideration. So that's the installments, obviously, as just mentioned. The insurance premiums as well as the fuel costs. And I made that mistake very, very quickly. When I got my car, I forgot about the fuel price and how that's changed. So I've had to kind of readjust things. But make sure you don't make the same mistake that I did. And there's lots of articles online which kind of give you a range of what you can afford. And maybe we can just speak to 5 price points, what you can be looking at and take from there. So maybe 14,000 to 17,000 rand. Do you want to go through the list or should I just run through it?
Yeah, I'll run through the list. Why not?
So if you're earning a little bit less than 20,000 rand, Suzuki Espresso or the Quid, which are both under 180,000 rand. If you're earning 20,000 rand, Suzuki Swift or the Picanto Starts, which are both also under 210,000 rand. But if you're making a little bit more, for instance, the Ford Ranger, which is one of South Africa's most popular cars, the new one, you have to be earning around 85,000 rand for that one. So for a new one, at least. So take that in consideration. And last but not least, if you want a supercar, please be making around 100,000 rand to kind of play around in the affordability range. But these are all new cars. There's obviously the used cars, which are what we're always going to kind of punt. So yeah, always come to Auto Trader and see. There's lots of great deals there for you anyway. So new cars coming in 2023. Is there any new car that you have seen that you're excited about?
No, I'm more excited about the principle of moving away from ICE vehicles.
Yeah.
And the faster we do that in South Africa, the better, as a matter of fact. We first need to sort out the load shedding issue.
Did you hear what happened in Eskom recently?
What?
So the president had an emergency meeting. I think it was at the Davos conference somewhere. I think it was in Dubai or something overseas. But he had to come back because obviously we have a crisis of electricity.
Yeah.
Where he was meeting up with some stakeholders from different parties, from different businesses, just to kind of discuss, and some of the politicians to kind of discuss what are we going to do about the crisis. The meeting was cancelled. Do you know why it was cancelled? Because 40% of the people who were supposed to attend couldn't get on because of load shedding. So this crisis is, it's really impacting everyone.
It impacts every area. What are we going to do? I mean, I can't even make phone calls because the networks are just falling apart when there's load shedding. When there's not load shedding, they don't. So, I don't know. I mean, something different has to happen. That's my opinion. It's not. Is you got to ask yourself, is Eskom fixable, or should we just open the grid to third some party private suppliers?
Yeah,
to provide power. But we'll see, because I believe there's some big court cases coming.
I did see that a consortium of different people trying to, was it businesses? Businesses and politicians just suing Eskom. I did see that.
So, hopefully that actually just creates change, because that's the main thing we need. Because talking about new cars is, we need charging.
Infrastructure.
We've got charging infrastructure. Yeah. We need power generation in order to charge EVs. And how are we going to do that if Eskom starts to degrade even more?
100%. And actually, the first car on the list is... So I've kind of spotlighted some of these vehicles. These are some of the most exciting vehicles. And I want you to kind of get a first response. I want to get your initial response to them. So the first one is the Audi Q8 e-tron.
No.
No?
Beautiful car. Wrong category.
I mean, it's stunning. Look at it.
Yeah, it's stunning. Can 90% of the population afford that?
No, no, of exactly. course not. Wrong but car. I mean, okay, fair enough. I mean, that's fair. I didn't think about them. They are coming in two different sort of body shapes, so it's going to be a Sportback and the more traditional sort of SUV.
Is it under R1 million?
No, it's not going to be under R1 million.
Is it under 1.5?
Well, we're waiting for the pricing.
What's the magic number? R500,000. We know this. So unless that's R500,000, doesn't excite me.
Specifically as an EV.
Yeah, specifically as an EV. Okay. Exactly. No, I mean, beautiful car. Audi. I've driven the Audi e-tron Sportback. And beautiful car.
Yeah.
Absolutely right for that demographic. But it's not going to change the landscape.
Yeah.
It's going to change the landscape in that slice. And that's
100%,
it.
100%, yeah. Next car on the list is the Bike B80. So this is supposed to be like a, almost like a G-Wagon. Or rather, let me say it's referenced to G-Wagon. I think it looks nice. I think it.
I mean, look at Land Rover Discovery, the square boxy shapes that are coming back.
It sells well.
They sell well. You know, and when we get to this through this list, if we've got some time, I'll give you my recent learning on why the Tesla Cybertruck is shaped the way it is, and is this. Is this because we're going back to that rugged kind of square shapey, you know, boxy look? Did they see the Cybertruck and like,
let's try and do something similar? Next one, probably the car I'm most excited about is definitely the BMW M2. So this is coming in the second quarter of next year. Not to say, so pretty. BMW, please.
I'm gonna get a dealer to bring a BMW M2 to the studio just for Wendy to drive.
Just for me to sleep. I'll sleep in the studio. I'll sleep in it. I'm super excited for this one. And then I know one of producers, Reno, he's super excited about this car, which is the Ferrari Purosangue. So this Ferrari's first SUV. They don't want to call it an SUV, but it's an SUV.
Is this kind of like late to the party based on
Lamborghini Urus?
Lamborghini?
I think it's a response to it. I wouldn't, you know. But
response, late to the party, same thing.
Yeah, 100%. But I mean, it's a V12. It's a pure Ferrari. This thing here is going to sell like hotcakes. So I wouldn't be surprised if they already sold out because it's stunning. It's probably the best looking.
Looks beautiful, but it looks like a concept drawing.
No, this is actually it. This is
really?
This is actually the vehicle.
Okay.
Yeah, super stunning. Four more Ford Raptor. So there's a new Raptor that's come out. And that's going to be all over the streets now. I'm really excited about this car.
This Ford looks like it's gonna turn some heads and make some sales. I reckon Ford's done a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, I actually saw one at Festival of Motoring last year, and man, it's
No, it just looks rugged, and it's going to that square boxy bullish shape.
Next we have the C63, which is finally moving away. Well, not finally, sadly moving away from V8. So this is not a V8 anymore. The C63, I think it's a V6.
Plug-in hybrid.
Plug-in hybrid, yeah. No, it's a four-cylinder online.
No, that's a smart car.
So you know, this is, you know, people have heard it already, and they're saying that it still screams. It's not the same sort of rumble, but it's faster. So we'll see how that does in South Controls. Then two more cars: C40 Recharge, another electric vehicle. This one here.
Again, now this one is kind of starting to get towards that category.
Yes.
You know, the Volvo's doing the right thing.
Yeah. I think this is going to do great numbers. I mean, the XC40, the P6 and the P8, I think both of them sold out as soon as they came out. So
it's because it's in that kind of like, you know, it's not quite, I mean, it's not in the R500,000 range, but or territory, but it's still heading in that downward direction.
Yeah, for sure. And the last one on the list is the Amarok, which, you know, a lot of people have a lot to say about it, but I think it's also going to do well. In South Africa, it's a bucky, so.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ford
got it right.
Ford's a bit more rugged than this.
Yeah.
Let's see. I mean, Amarok's always been popular.
100%. But you know, our journalists will be reviewing a lot of these cars as soon as they come in, so keep an eye out and you'll get all of that. Before we leave, George, we did some predictions last year. Oh, wait, no, you want to talk about the Tesla Cybertruck?
Cybertruck, yes. So, why is the Cybertruck shaped the way it is?
So, okay, let me tell you my first initial response to looking at it, and then maybe you can, you know, and I thought from an aerodynamics point of view, it does have some of the shape that could be aerodynamic. However, I think it's still very boxy, and that's not, you know, the best shape if you if you're going to be electric and kind of cut the air.
So there's something I found out that is, like, I thought I knew a lot about vehicles and, you know, their internal workings. But when I found this out, I was like, the penny dropped. Because it's such a simple concept.
Yeah.
What's the Cybertruck made of?
I'm assuming aluminium, maybe.
No, it's made of stainless steel.
Okay, full steel.
Stainless steel.
Entire frame.
Yes, stainless steel. Okay, that's why that designer could hit it with a sledgehammer and it didn't break. Anyone hits a normal car with a sledgehammer, you're going to put a big dent in it. Now, the Cybertruck, there it is. What I didn't know was that most or all buckies, 4x4s, double cabs, truck type vehicles, the double cab, single cab, the rigidity of the vehicle is not the body. Okay, the rigidity of the vehicle and the vehicle itself is actually just an engine mounted to a chassis.
Yeah, yeah.
That the body is bolted onto. The body doesn't give the vehicle rigidity.
Strength. Yeah.
Doesn't give it its strength, right?
You've seen it in crash tests. They don't do great very in well. Crash tests, yeah.
Okay. Whereas with the car, the body is part of the car. Mm. It gives it rigidity. Mm. Okay. It gives it its stability. And that's why
it's not like a frame just put on four wheels.
It's not a frame put on four wheels. Okay. So what they did with the Cybertruck was they wanted to use the car's concept, but have it be a truck.
So it's not a frame that's on four wheels.
No. So the way they did that was they decided to make the entire thing out of stainless steel, one of the hardest metals.
Yeah. Okay.
Now the thing about stainless steel is you can't bend it.
So in an accident,
where
crumple zones are really important, is that not a problem?
It could be. I don't know. I haven't seen the crash test figures yet. But I'm talking about the truck type vehicle, right? Now, the thing with stainless steel is you can't bend those panels. You can't curve them.
Yeah.
You can only bend them in lines.
Okay.
So that's why they're lines on the truck.
I see.
Okay, because you can't bend the stainless steel. And the only way to have made the truck not chassis with body on was to make it using a very strong steel. Okay, and because it's an electric truck, it can handle the weight.
Okay.
And the weight gives it some of the stability as well.
Why not just go with like panels, like steel panels, and then have, I don't know, like an aluminium actual frame?
You won't get the load-bearing abilities. Mm. So they wanted it to be a truck.
They wanted it to be strong.
So strong, be able to carry weight. Now, you look at Buckies today.
Yeah.
The Buckies that were on the screen or any of them before that, you know, Toyota, Hilux. How many times have you seen chucking things in the back, how it damages the load bay?
Yeah, I mean, my parents have an Amarok, ironically.
It's not just the Amarok. I mean, it's all of them.
Yeah.
Right? It damages the load area, right? Because it's soft steel.
Yeah, you can get that refurbished. Well, you have to.
You can get it refurbished. Now, what manufacturers are trying to do is they're trying to put Teflon and a whole bunch of other coatings and stuff in the load bay. But it doesn't really last. Cybertruck is stainless steel. You can chuck things in the back there and it's not going to damage it as much as steel.
I'd be interested to find out if that was the actual intention or if that was like a gimmick.
I don't think it's a gimmick. I think it's the real. So if you think about their design philosophy is they're trying to make the vehicle a single component. Rather than almost like the Apple makes a MacBook Pro and a MacBook Air out of one piece of aluminium.
Yeah, makes sense.
So anyway, that was a bit of a sideshow.
If that's something that other manufacturers are going to kind of
follow.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's already in every single car is built this way.
Yeah.
They've just turned the truck into the same concept, which I think is ingenious. And that's why that shape is the way it is.
Yeah.
It wasn't designed from shape to vehicle. It was, let's use the best metals single hull, rigidity, strength, chucking things in the back, how do we get that right and what shapes do we need? And you can see every single shape there is triangular, which is the strongest shape in the world.
100%. Before we leave, we did some predictions and I think we only have time for like one or two. But one of the things that you kind of spotlighted last year was buyers are going to be spending less time in physical dealerships and moving more online. Do you think that's something that actually happened? Do you see that happening more?
I don't think dealerships are going to go away.
Yeah.
Especially with used cars. Maybe new will move in that direction faster or more than used. But the thing about a used car is it's not a commodity. Every single used car in the market is a unique item on its own. One VW GTI is not the same as another used VW GTI. 100%. It's got different mileage, slightly different specs, different color maybe, different interior.
It's not like going to Tegela, right? And
exactly.
Ordering the same thing.
So in that world, I don't think dealerships will go anywhere, especially in the used car environment. Maybe to a certain degree the new. I mean, we've already seen that the number of dealership visits per consumer came down to about 1.6 at one stage.
Yeah.
I would imagine it'll hover between 1 and 2 forever.
Yeah. Okay. And is there any new predictions that you want to throw in there? Want to think about it first?
At the moment, what I'm seeing is used car prices have risen.
Yeah.
We are seeing that dealerships are moving cars slower through the system. They're being more cautious when they're buying. So what we were predicting last year, if you want to sell your used car, sell it now. Yeah. Now's the time to sell it. Yeah. I think if you don't do it in January, you're going to be too late.
100%. And that's pretty much all the time we have for. Thank you so much, George, again. We'll see you next week. And yeah, let's see what happens.